Well, welcome you all back in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and I ask again that you would give your full attention to our brother Gary as he brings us the word of the Lord tonight. Brother Elder Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Aaron, and I welcome all of you into the house of the Lord and those that are live streaming. I can't say it enough, our sister selections of songs this evening, and it's just uncanny how the Lord works with us, and I just really am scratching my head up here because, you know, the Lord's really been working on my heart lately, and I'd like to actually start off with a little bit of a testimony. And so getting ready at home before we came here tonight, I have this tie, and I really wanted to wear this tie, and I couldn't find it. I was looking for it everywhere. I had the intention, I'm going to wear the red shirt today. I haven't worn that tie forever. I'm going to wear this tie. I'm so excited. And I couldn't find the tie. So I was actually in my closet, and I was like, I'll put on this white shirt, and I'll put on my favorite color ties. I probably got 30 of them, blue ties. And as I was buttoning up my shirt, I turned to walk out of my closet continue to get ready. I just don't like putting my shirt on in the closet. It's just too confined of a space. And I hear this hanger drop, and I'm like, huh, that was interesting, because, you know, I'm very particular about, like, the color of my shirts, where they're hanging, and everything in order. And when I turn around and look on the floor, it was a single hanger with this tie on it. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. It was just a wonderful, like, treat to help me have a good attitude in my heart in the right place to come here tonight. And I just, it's just uncanny because of the songs that Sister Deb had picked. And I'm thankful of the ability to be able to share what's on my heart, what the Lord has placed upon my heart. And we're going to talk about the heart tonight. And, you know, I really been thinking about this a lot lately, because when we were up at camp, one of the things I stood up and shared during our sacrament service is the amount of burden at times I feel getting out of bed and going to work and dealing with situations that can be difficult. There are difficult situations in everybody's life. And it's just some of the things that you wish you didn't have to deal with, but you do. And it involves HR and employee and all the mud that you have to go through. And it's unfortunate. And one of the things that causes a burden upon my heart, because number one, I don't want anybody to have to go through certain types of disciplinary actions and stuff of that nature. And it's difficult to deal with, but it's life. And we have an order in life, and we follow procedures and standard operating procedures and policies and administrative regulations to keep things in order, to keep them consistent. And it's really, it's interesting how simple it can be, but at the same time, it's interesting how difficult people can make it be. And so my heart has been burdened the last few weeks, you know, with the amount of work that we have to do. But on top of it, you have other things that you have to deal with. And one of the things in dealing with situations is I've really been asking the Lord to help me be able to keep my heart in the right place, you know, to be able to look at the positive things in life and to be able to be positive and encourage people despite all the things that unfortunately have to transpire on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, I look at that, and one of the things that really helped me is to know that the Lord gives us experiences in many different ways. And this is just an experience that I'm going through and learning and developing, but most definitely relying upon the Lord to be able to help me be able to get through this. And it's been a burden on my heart. And so I wanted to share a few things about our hearts and where they're at in our spiritual walk and in our daily life and how important it is. And so, you know, one of the things I just kind of wanted to get started with is it's a critical organ. It's the most critical organ in our body. And the heart, it is attached to everything that we have inside of us. And it attaches us in a way, outside of us as well. You know, our heart controls a lot of things within us. We'll get a little bit more into that, but some basic facts here about the heart. It's about 7 to 15 ounces, about the size of your fist. And I found this interesting in other people. If you like statistics, facts, and stuff like that, you'll like some of the stuff that I have here tonight. So on a regular day, daily basis, an average heart beats 100,000 times per day. And that's a lot of pumping. 2,000 gallons of blood is basically what our heart is pumping on a daily basis. That's a lot of blood that's going through our heart. In an average lifespan, it's beating about 2.5 billion times. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, we do exercises and we do repetitions to try to keep our body in shape. And, you know, you do like 10 to 15 reps on something and you're feeling it pretty good. You know, your body's feeling it. You're already starting to feel tired. But it's amazing what God has developed to keep our body going and how much it can do. It's unbelievable what our heart can do. And so some of the things that I wanted to point out as well is that I did a quick search in the Church of Christ online Bible and Book of Mormon. And in the Bible, the heart is mentioned 884 times. And in the Book of Mormon, when I did the search for it, it's mentioned 414 times. And so there's numerous upon numerous accounts of how many times the heart is brought up, how many times it is used. And I started looking into that and found it interesting because there's different aspects of what the gospel is presenting when it speaks about the heart. You know, it refers to the inner man a lot of times, the mind in our body. It refers to our will, and it refers to our emotions. And so there's a few things here that I wanted to share because I started looking at, okay, well, it refers to all these things. I might need to get my mouse here because there it is. I'm not used to the pad. But, yeah, let me grab my mouse real quick. I have an easier time with this. But so I started looking some of these things up in Strong's, and it's really interesting because how all these things tie into our spiritual life. You know, how it's used figuratively, how it's used spiritually, how it's used in our vocabulary, how we use it as a reference. It's really interesting how many in comparisons, how many different ways that the heart is used. And so I looked up a few of these that were defined through Strong's in the Hebrew and Greek definitions. And there's a few I wanted to share with you guys. And so in Strong's 3824, the heart, also used figuratively, is very widely for the feelings, the will, even the intellect, likewise the center of everything and anything. So that was really interesting to me because, you know, we can relate to that, at the heart, you know, when we talk about that, it has a lot to do with our will, our feelings, our intellect. You know, it's the center of all things. It gives life to all things within our body. It keeps us alive. G 1537 and 25:6 says, this is kind of on the other side of the spectrum, to be bad or weak, that is, by implication, to fail, faint, and be weary. Another one, G1909 and G2372, to set the heart upon, that is to long, for rightfully or otherwise covet, desire, lust after. And so we're seeing that this heart, the description of it, the definition of it, and how it's used in so many various occasions within the gospel is going from one side of the spectrum to the other and sometimes down the middle as well. And G5384, to be a friend, fond of an individual or an object, that is, have affection for, denoting personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling. And so all these things that are transpiring, and it goes on and on and on. There are so many usages and definitions of heart within our gospel. And I find that interesting because, you know, never have I really taken time to be able to actually go through and to see and to understand some of these things. And, you know, there's a lot that goes on with our heart within inside of ourselves physically. We know that it takes a long, long time. I don't know if you go through medical school, how many years it actually takes to become a heart doctor. I think it's 8 or 10 years or something like that to where you can actually go and practice. And I use that term loosely, practice being a heart surgeon. And you really have to understand it. And I think that throughout life that, you know, with all these occasions of the word being used within the gospel, at the same time, and as I learn about more and more of what God is trying to teach me, a lot of it is directly related to my heart and what it's doing. And with what it's doing, what is the outcome of the performance of it? And I find that very fascinating because, you know, God wants us to continuously learn. And I think and I believe that he knows every single thing that's upon our heart, what it's going to do, why it's going to do it, how to care for it. He has all the answers for that. And so, you know, one of the things that we have to do, just like we sung in our second opening song, is give him our heart, and our heart will be taken care of. And that's not just speaking of a physical muscle within us. That's speaking towards all the dynamics that are involved with our heart and what we're doing in life and where we're at and how we're approaching things. And one of the things I learned throughout life is that how our heart can really direct us where we're going and what we're doing. And we have to be cautious about that. We have to understand that, you know, our heart, it can deceive us. It could cause us to want things, to lust after things, to covet things. And we really have to keep our heart in check. And the Lord calls us to learn of him and to allow him to mold us, to shape us, to give him our heart. And so one of the things I kind of want to start with is in Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try their reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And so the Lord knows, and he gives us opportunities. And a lot of times, depending on where our heart's at, it's whether or not we accept what God's will is in our life and how we approach different situations. I wanted, you know, in our natural tendency is to say, I can do it myself. I can figure it out in my own way and completely go against what the gospel is trying to teach us, what the Lord is trying to show us, how he's trying to guide us. And I found it interesting because, and I wanted to share this with you. Just this week, we came back from the ranch, and I have this. So we have this dog, and his name's Lincoln, and he's a puppy still. And we had bought him. It's a training collar / they call it a gentle lead. It goes around their muzzle and around the back of their head. And prior to getting this gentle lead, we would take the dog out on a walk, and these dogs, you know, they're the pit bulls, and boy, he's a big one, and he can pull like none other, and you got to be really careful. So we got him collars with a handle on it. Some of you have seen it at the ranch, and I wanted to buy this gentle lead because I've been watching the YouTube videos on how to use it and what it can do for the dog. Like, they promote this type of collar system, and it does no harm to the animal whatsoever, but they promote this and make it look like, hey, this thing is the next best thing, as Isaac would say, since sliced bread. So I was all enthused about this, and We got home from the ranch because we tried to put it on the dog at the ranch, and the dog lost it. And it was like, whoa, we got to do this in a controlled environment. Not with all these people around, because the dog is literally flopping on the ground like fish out of water, trying to get this thing off. And so I decided, hey, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this. I'm going to take the dog out for the walk. Alicia decided to stay home. I don't know if that was because it's really hard to watch the dog at first, too, because of the dog's struggle to try to get out of this thing because it's around his snout, but it doesn't hinder his breathing or nothing. So I put it on the dog and he started flipping out. And, I said, well, we just got to get through this. So treats are an amazing thing. So I offered the dog treats, took his mind completely off of what's on his face, got him outside, started walking down the sidewalk. And he just like comes around and says, I got to get this thing off of me. And he starts flopping around like a fish on the sidewalk. And I'm like, oh boy, oh boy. And, you know, I'm just trying to get him to realize that it's not going to come off. So, you know, I just kind of tug on it a couple times and he comes to his senses, because dogs kind of go in this weird frame of mind where they're just not all there and they're out of it. And so I got him back in control, started walking him down the road again, and he did it again. And I just kind of let him have it that time, just let him realize, you know what, it's not coming off, because it's fastened pretty good to where he can't slip it off. And after the dog realized, Lincoln realized that this thing's not coming off, it was to the point, and I was telling Isaac and Patricia about this morning, it was to the point to where it was so amazing the change that dog went through instantly after it knew this isn't coming off, and the control that it just completely changed his whole attitude, his demeanor. He stayed right by my side. I could just hold the leash with two fingers and that dog wouldn't leave my side. It was just, I was dumbfounded. I was laughing because I just couldn't believe this. And now the only thing that I could relate it to is from seeing like on old cowboy movies and shows where they would break a horse and a horse would just totally calm down and start listening. And I took this dog all the way around the block, brought him back, and I was telling Alicia, like, oh my goodness, this thing is the next best thing since sliced bread, because this dog completely behaved. And we did it again, and he's getting it. And it's unbelievable when you see that once the animal is bridled, that it understands it and the control that it gives you to be able to see that I can handle this situation because he has submitted. The animal, the dog that we truly love, has submitted. And sometimes I think about that, where our heart's at and what it does to us and how we react in ways that we're all over the place if we're not getting what we want, because, you know, we believe that we can figure it out for ourselves and it's not comfortable the way I'm doing it here, so I'm going to try it there. And we're just all over the place. But if we were just to submit to the Lord, let him gently lead us, everything just becomes calm and relaxed and in control. It's amazing when we give our hearts over to the Lord that he can do these things. But, you know, we have to be on guard. We have to understand that, you know, the Lord is going to take us places in ways that, yes, we might not be comfortable with it always, but we know that he's the one who's in control and he will take care of us. And I find that interesting because, you know, we learn a lot of things as we go through life, but just here, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, I see it all around me. It's all encompassing what this world is all about and all the issues that are developed in advertised because of the desires of the heart. And so I have here just a few of these things that I feel are encroaching in on us all the time. You know, it's hatred, lust, anger, criticism, resentment, idolatry, all these things that come from the heart that are encompassing us and we have to deal with. I see it in a lot of places, and I'm thankful that the Lord gives us a sanctuary within himself to be able to know that he's in control, that despite all these things that are happening in this world, that we can find that peace and solitude in him. And all these things here that life throws at us, it all leads to misery. And there's so many things that are included in this than just what's up here. There's so many more things. There's I have prejudice, laziness, anger. I have that up there. Gossip, criticism, resentment, murder, theft, selfishness. All these things that come because our heart's leading us into the wrong directions that we need to be going. And a lot of these things have a direct effect on our heart physically as well. You know, we get into situations that cause stress and anger, and what's the first thing that happens? You know, our blood pressure goes up, and you can suffer from high blood pressure. I was a person that did because of the physical side effects. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but the things that can happen to you physically because of the stresses that you have in your life, the anger that you have within yourself, anxiety, all these things can cause issues with your heart. And so I went on to heart.org, and I was kind of looking into that. There's a high blood pressure. There's reduced blood flow to the heart, and your body produces higher levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And over time, these effects can lead to heart disease or cardiac arrest, heart failure, stroke, you know, heart attack, all those things that can happen. And I find that interesting because a lot of times in life, I see people that you see it in them how things are bottled up. And, you know, we see that people just erupt with these emotions and these angers and these frustrations. We see it in the media. We see it all around us. Rioting. We see disorder, and it's really difficult as a Christian to be able to cope with these things and to deal with these things. But you know, if we're in tune with where we're at with our walk with God, you know, we can have the ability to be able to make it and to overcome what the world has going on around us. And I like this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So we have to keep our heart with all diligence. We have to be always in tune of where we're at and what we're thinking and how we're feeling. And you know, making sure that the softness of our heart is being promoted within our lives. And so I thought about those things, and I was thinking, you know, I need to be able to share an example of how the gospel gives us a good idea of what it is of having one's heart change. And where do I start with that? Well, I believe the Lord gave me this. Some of us, Alma Jr., I'll call Alma, the son of Alma, in Mosiah, we read about these things. And I'm not going to read the entirety of it, but I'm going to do a little bit of a summary. And it's interesting how the Lord can change your heart and how you could go from one side of the spectrum to the other with God intervening in your life. And you know, we're not all going to relate to this, but I kind of want to tie it into some things that we can all relate to. But let's get started here in Mosiah chapter 11, and we'll just read 159 through 161. It says, "Now the sons of Mosiah were numbered among the unbelievers, and also one of the sons of Alma was numbered among them, him being called Alma after his father. Nevertheless, he became a very wicked man and an idolatrous man, and he was a man of many words and did speak much flattery to the people. Therefore, he led many of the people to do after the manner of his iniquities, and he became a great hindrance to the prosperity of the church of God, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among the people, giving a chance for the enemy of God to exercise his power over them. And I see this, and you know, what is it in this world at stealing away the hearts of the people? You know, I see the influence of the world upon us and how it changes our perspective on our belief systems, or tries to impose itself on our belief systems, I should say. And, you know, it's continuous. It's generational. It's being applied to our children. We have to be careful of that. And all these things, the reasoning behind this is contrary to what we learn and to our foundation, which is the gospel of Christ. And, you know, there's this power in the world that is trying to pull us away from what we believe and why we believe it. But, you know, we have God in our lives to be able to bring us, to keep us, help us be diligent in overcoming those influences in the world. And such here as Alma and his mentality towards the church, you know, it came to a point to where he was approached by an angel of God, and he was struck down. He was made dumb. He fell to the ground. You know, the power of God was presented to him, was on display. And I think of those things and how reality can really have an effect and an immediate effect on you, to where you feel a nothingness within yourself. And this is something very powerful that he experienced, to where when the angel had approached him and asked him why he was persecuting the church, you know, I kind of put myself in his shoes and like, what do you say? You know, what do you say? Because there is something I don't quite understand so powerful in front of me right now that I am speechless. And he got to the point to where he couldn't open his mouth. He became weak, even that he couldn't move his hands. And so, you know, after this had happened, he was taken back to his dad, and his dad rejoiced. He was like, well, that's good. Good for him. Because, you know, I'm sure that his dad had a deep concern of what he was doing and why he was doing it. And so what did his father do? He asked everybody to fast and to pray for 2 days. For 2 days, they prayed for him. You know, they didn't just take him and throw him in prison because, you know, he was a troublemaker. No, they prayed for him. And I see that a lot within our church services, and the things that we talk about is, you know, those that are struggling in this life, that are doing things contrary to the gospel, you know, we're not just disregarding them. We're praying for them. We bring their names up continuously in prayer services because it's important. The Lord's children are each and every one of us, and even those that are in trouble are important to him. And so what had happened? Well, after 2 days of praying for him, Alma stood up and he said, be of good comfort. So he had this, we're going to read, I want to make sure that I express this correctly. He had this experience with in himself, within his heart, within his mind, within his soul, with his relationship with God, and how it completely changed his life. And we drop down to verses 190, 192. It says, and this is Alma, son of Alma, speaking, Alma Jr. He says, nevertheless, after waiting through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy hath seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning, and I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. So, you know, he went from this completely wicked heart to seeing what and how God can change him and where he was. Like, really, it opened his eyes. And as I was referring to our dog, how These dogs go into that zone where they don't quite understand what's going on. They're just reacting with everything, and then they snap out of it like, oh, okay, where am I at? Okay, let's go ahead. Let's move forward. Such was this with Alma. And it's interesting because myself, you know, in life, I've struggled with things. And it's funny how fast you could get caught up in life in the things that go with it. Your friends, those that you surround yourself with. Our brother this morning was talking about it. And it was a big amen because, you know, those that you run in life with, you tend to pick up those type of attributes. But here we see the change that was made in Alma's heart. And, you know, what I wanted to relate this to is that, you know, despite his particular situation, you know, this is one in I don't know how many millions and millions of people would have an experience like this. But he says here again that he hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and bonds of iniquity. And I think a lot of us, you know, through life can relate to that. You know, there's all kinds of things that we could be bound down by. That's an iniquity. You have drugs, alcohol, depression, all these things that can really cause us to suffer within our heart and within our mind and most importantly, spiritually, and this can have a direct effect on those that are around us as well. You know, one of the things that I see here is that the draw to a knowledge of what God can do to a person. I believe that's the example that we see here, and we go on to read. You know, all the work that Alma did for the church and how we can relate to that. And even within people in our own church, you know, how you go from one side of the spectrum to the other. Sometimes it's people that you would never even think of. I'm sure Alma's dad, when he was in this situation, was like, you know, this is going to be a real rough life for my son. And I believe that, you know, some of the youth that we see struggling within our church even, you know, it's like, wow, that's going to be a long, difficult life for that individual. But I have hope. I have faith. My heart's desire is that the Lord can have this type of impression on all these individuals, anyone that's struggling with these type of things, to be able to change them, to help them, to get them out of that gall of bitterness. And I think that, you know, it's important as God's children and those of us that are trying to stay on the right path that we express, you know, what God can do in our lives, that we continue to work towards God's plan, not just for us, but for other people as well, because there's always opportunities to do that. And in Luke chapter 6, there's one verse here. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil a treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, where are our intentions in life? You know, what are we looking to do? What are we looking to accomplish? And I don't just speak about temporarily. I'm looking more towards challenging us spiritually, you know, and it could be difficult. It could be very difficult in situations in our environments to be able to stand up and to speak about how God has helped us and changed us and to be able to share those treasures in which we've acquired along the way. It can be very difficult to do that. You know, but I see that when we do things like that, how it strengthens our hearts, how it helps us be able to say, yeah, within ourselves, I can do that. I can be that good example that God wants me to be. You know, it's something that helps others. It teaches others. Just as Christ walked the earth and taught, you know, we can do the same thing. I will never, ever be to the caliber of Christ, but the Lord knows what's on our hearts. He knows that we're trying, and He knows our intentions. And, you know, whether it's completely simplistic and of no value to others, it may be of great value to some. And I look at that and I see that. And at the same time, those that can express the deep emotions of which they have to be able to share with others, those are the treasures that can help those that are struggling with problems that are deep within that they have been dealing with. It could be for an extended amount of time to help be able to dig those things up and bring them to the surface and let them know that God is there and He's listening to be able to help you see the treasures that He has to offer because of what you're presenting before Him and to others to help them, to teach them. It's so important that we try to work towards that. One of the things that we cannot be is completely inactive. We cannot be inactive. We have to continuously work within our heart and keep that heart doing what it was designed to do. All these different meanings and definitions are critical to the function of our heart in our spiritual walk. You know, all those things that I shared in the second slide, it's important that we do that. And just like, you know, we exercise, you know that when you're out of shape that you're struggling, you know, and same as our spiritual walk. If we're out of shape, we're going to struggle. But God provides all the necessary tools to condition our heart, to keep it going, and to be of good health. And so reach out to God and ask Him, you know, how can I have something that would be meaningful to others that I can share? And He'll present those opportunities. And so in 2 Corinthians, I don't have it up here. It says in chapter 9, verse 7 and 8, every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So if your intentions are to do something good, God's going to give you the capability to do that. He's going to put the courage within your heart. He's going to give you the strength, the patience, the calmness to be able to express, to be able to do what it is that you have that desire to do. So look to God. Know that your heart, especially when you're doing it in a manner that is selfless, is a treasure to somebody else that you can share. And so where do we start? Well, where do I start? Where do we start? I should have put on there. You know, for those that may be listening to this in the future, you know, I feel, and God has shown me and caused me to believe. And I really appreciate these verses here in Mosiah because it's almost like the starting block of everything. You know, it's like at a race, it's like the starting block. And the first thing we need to do is to believe that it can be done. I wanted to share an example before I read I'll read these verses first. And I'm going to share an example with somebody that I'm working with and trying to achieve their commercial driver's license. And it's just, it's an interesting story. It says, believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can't comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And so real quick, that sincerity of heart, I looked that up in Webster's 1828. It says the quality of being free from pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. Do them not once or twice, but continuously. So, you know, be sincere all the time. And I wanted to share, Isaac was talking about his CDL at lunch today, and I have a gentleman that is, he's an employee that is trying to acquire his CDL. And one of the things that, so it was last Wednesday, I believe, or Tuesday, man, it was hot outside. And I was telling this individual, hey, we're going to go out there because he failed his CDL test. And it was the 7-step that he failed. So there's certain different exercises you have to do to acquire your commercial driver's license, which is to drive the tractor trailers, like the big trucks. And one of the things that I noticed with him was he was all over the place. He wasn't focused. And one of the things he kept saying is, I just get so nervous that I can't do this. And he kept saying that over and over and over again. And I was like, listen, you have to stop saying that, because you're repeating that over and over within yourself. And you're basically setting yourself up to where internally you're believing you can't do it. So something's going to happen to where you're going to get all worked up and then you're going to fail because you've told yourself that over and over again. I said, you have to tell yourself and be confident and know that you can do this. And a long, long time ago, our brother Jay, I don't know if he told me when I first became a minister, but he said, and I heard this from Jay, from you, it was, before you get up there, take 5 deep breaths. Breathe through your nose, out your mouth. Breathe through. You've said that. That's a Jayism. And I said that. I was like, I'm going to tell this guy this. And I'm going to watch him. And I was like, we're just stopping. We're stopping because you're all over the place. You need to just settle yourself. I said, I want you to breathe through your nose. Nope, stop talking. I want you to breathe through your nose and out your mouth 5 times. And sure enough, it worked. It worked. And he was like, you know, he was really kind of taken back by it because it just settled him. And I think a lot of times, you know, our heart, it gets us all worked up. It gets us so worked up that we can start thinking things that really aren't the way they are, twisting things around, getting a misunderstanding, getting a misinterpretation, seeing somebody and misreading their body language. All these things happen when inside of us, we're just all wound up in internally, and it has a direct effect on our spiritual life. But, you know, how do I start in this spiritual walk to be able to understand how to keep my heart in check and to stay on top of things? And we have to start by believing that God, just as we read previously in the slides about the son of Alma and his experience, he could do this. But we have to believe, and we have to ask with that sincerity of heart. No deceit, no hypocrisy, not just because I'm mad, why aren't you doing this, but really putting it all out there, giving our heart to God and letting him be able to lead us and to show us the way, and willing to walk by his side. You know, it's a two-way process. And so I thought about that and staying focused and by God's side. And it led me to the story of Peter when he was walking on the water. Chapter 14 of Matthew 28 through 31. Peter answered him and said, because Peter wanted to go out there and be with Christ. And, you know, I a lot of times relate to the storm and the waves and the ship being tossed and everything going on, that's the world we live in. And there's so many things that cause us to lose focus on what's important. And it says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so in that part of believing, you know, don't doubt. Know that God is there. Understand where you're at. Don't focus on what's going on around you, but at the same time, be aware of it. It's interesting because there's a way to look at these scriptures a lot of times and see that there's multiple meanings going on at the same time. And so one of the things I try to relate this to, and I was doing some reading and I liked this commentary's not demonstration, but correlation with this scripture. It's kind of like swimming where there's a very strong tide. I have been in these situations before. All of us probably have, where you're on the beach, you're enjoying time with friends or family. You go out into the water to where your feet aren't touching the ground. You're having a good time playing in the waves. And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, where's my beach towel and my beach chair? And like, it's 400 yards over to the right or to the left, depending on which way the tide's going. And so we got to be careful of what's going on around us. We have to stay focused on our point of where we're at and not drift away from it. And that's the same relation that this gentleman related to the verses with Peter walking on water. And I found that interesting because, you know, so many times you get carried away in the fun and the activities and you lose track of where you're at. And being in a really strong tide can be dangerous. It can actually pull you out and you can be in a real bad situation quick. But, you know, that's why it's important to have your bearings, to understand, you know, am I drifting away? Am I not active enough to stay where I need to be, especially when it comes to our spiritual life? And I think a lot of times we get caught up in the world in it, and all of a sudden we're like, wow, how did I get there? And, you know, it's a realization that where we're at isn't where we need to be. And I like this because Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, you know. And if we have that awareness of our bearings where we're at, we can always call out to God and he'll reach out to us and help us be able to get back to where we need to be. Scriptures are there for us to be able to do that. I wanted to read, and I think this is important because when we could be any place in our life that is considered the gall of bitterness, you know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be in our lives, depression, you know, there's God that is there that cares for us. And I appreciate these verses in Ezekiel chapter 36, 24 through 27. And God is telling them that Israel, the nation of Israel, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you back into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, which we just sung about, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And I was talking in my previous sermon about that, you know, understanding that God gives us all these things. And this is so important that no matter where we're at, God will take us. He'll give us that new heart of flesh and help us with his spirit. And as long as we're willing to abide with his statutes and his judgments and his ordinances, you know, he takes us to good places to help us be able to prosper, not so much, in the temporal world, but in our spiritual lives, to be able to know that we can be comforted, to have joy, to be able to have peace, to feel settled, and to have I really appreciate the clarity of thought on how to approach the world in which we live in. And one of the Strong's definitions, I put it here because I really appreciated it. I didn't share it in the previous Strong's definitions of heart. It's 5463 from the Greek. Says graciousness as gratifying of manner or act, abstract or concrete, literal, figurative, or spiritual, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude, acceptable benefit, favor, gift, grace, gracious, joy, liberality, I don't know what that means exactly, pleasure, and thanks, and worthy. And that was like the one that summed it all up for me, especially that reflection in life. All the love that God gives us, it's almost like, I don't know how to express it. You know, he gives us all of his heart. He gives us everything. Every word that heart is described in the gospel is given to us if we're willing to be submissive and to let him shape and mold us. So I really appreciate that. And that actual definition, I put that in, has, in the King James Version, has 156 occurrences. So that's used quite a bit. That definition, 5463, graciousness as gratifying, is used 156 times in the gospel. So let us share that and reflect that for which God gives us unto others. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And that faith that unfeigned, I had to look that up. And I did. It says, not counterfeit, not hypocritical, but real and sincere. And I like how that tied in with the previous slide back a couple, I won't go back, about, you know, a sincerity of heart. You know, that we're sincerely trying to do that in good conscience and with a pure heart of sharing that graciousness that God shares with us and reflecting that into other people's lives. And it even says in that same definition that it's a gift and it's pleasurable, it's joy, and it's thankworthy. And all those things are important for us to be able to remember. You know, again, life, it's a struggle at times. And again, you feel a lot of weight on your heart. You feel heavily burdened, but God can make our burden light. So I hope these few slides have had an impression on you in your life and give you has given you a wider understanding, a bigger understanding of, you know, how God works through his words and through people's lives. So it gives us confidence to be able to share that with people. It gives us courage to, especially in the day in which we live. So I thank you for your time, and God bless each and every one of you. And I thank God for all that he gives.